The title I've given my message today is quite simple, actually, quite forward and to the point. It's called, When You're Dead, You're Dead. Or Are You? Oh, little afterthought there. Or Are You? We're going to find out today. I'd appreciate it if you would write to me and tell me what you think. Opinions are always welcome at battlesightforchrist.tillhecomes.net. Okay. All right. When you're dead, you're dead. That sounds kind of final. You know, in the world we live in, well, such a statement seems to make a lot of sense, doesn't it? Bang, you're dead. Yeah, you're dead. I mean, after all, cemeteries and battlefields don't lie, do they? Not one single person that we know or know of was completely void of life, except, of course, on a hospital operating table and was revived after being dead for 3 days and three nights. Except our Lord Jesus Christ, our blessed Savior. You see, when he was dead, he wasn't dead. Right? Okay. Let's say a word of prayer before we go any further and ask the Lord's blessing upon the message. Dear Heavenly Father, I praise and thank you, Lord, for giving me this opportunity to bring forth these words. My prayer, Lord, is that the hearts and ears would be open and unstopped, and that when all is said, that the hearer would understand completely what has been said, and that they will be able to rejoice in knowing that Jesus Christ is alive, and that we who repent and believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ one day will see him face to face. Oh, thank you, mighty God, for the great salvation we have through your blessed Son, Jesus Christ. Amen, amen. When you're dead, you're dead. Who told you that? You know, there are those who would feel contrary to this fact that Jesus Christ suffered and died on that cruel cross, and after 3 days and three nights, got up and walked out of the tomb. Why is that so hard to believe? Well, the reason why is because it doesn't happen every day, if it ever happens at all. But it does happen. It did happen with Jesus Christ. But it didn't happen for no reason at all. It happened because it needed to happen. Are you getting what I'm saying here? Jesus had no sin. Jesus did no wrong. Jesus is God incarnate, and Jesus was the only one who could go to the cross, who could give his life up, shed his precious blood for a sinner like you and me, so that we may, in the end, be in glory with him and God. Wow. Like I said, there are those who would feel contrary to this fact. However, they fail to recognize that once the Spirit, which we all have, whether holy or otherwise, continues to strive in heaven or in hell after death. Your choice of destination, well, that's determined by the choices you make while you're in the flesh. For those of us who believed in what took place at Calvary, well, we will receive new bodies, like unto Jesus, and spend, excuse me, and spend eternity with Him in heaven. For those who have denied Christ, well, they will suffer for all eternity. They will suffer for all eternity in the flames of an eternal hell, where the Bible says, the worm, that's the soul, dieth not. The worm dieth not. The choice is ours, yours, mine, everyone. We have a choice, and we must make that choice before death occurs. Someone asked, well, what's the judgment seat of Christ? What is the judgment seat of Christ? Well, it's when believers who have been raptured and redeemed, according to 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 13 to 17, you might want to read it. The reason for the judgment seat of Christ is to determine our rewards and crowns which we will cast at our Savior's feet. We will. That's another message I'll get into someday about rewards and crowns. At the same time upon earth, will begin the day of the Lord, or the tribulation period, also known as Jacob's trouble. And it's for unbelievers, not believers. Believers won't be here. We will be in glory. Right? So tell me. Tell me. Are you a believer or a non-believer? Or are you a child of the King and guaranteed a seat in the heavenlies? Are you? Do you know for sure that when Jesus returns, or you close your eyes in death, that you will open them again in the presence of Almighty God? Do you know that? Do you believe that? Do you? Or are you simply filled with worldly enthusiasm, believing that you're good enough to meet the Lord in the air? Are you really? Well, you may get a rude awakening on that one. Tell me, do you have your travel insurance? Is your booking complete? Are the arrangements final? And is your destination sure? Are you familiar with what... excuse me, I got a frog today. Are you familiar with what Jesus preached when he tested the false prophets in Matthew 7? Right at the outset in Matthew 7:15, Jesus warned these false prophets, beware of false prophets. He warned everybody, beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly, they are ravening wolves. In verse 16, he warned us that we should know them by their fruits. Now listen carefully. Can you tell them apart? Can you? Or, well, they speak great swelling words, but inside, down deep, they are ravening wolves. Yes, they are. Does this descriptive not abide in many who call themselves Christians, Sunday morning believers, but weekday deceivers? Sunday morning believers, but weekday deceivers. Have you met any of those? They're all around us. If you question them about their faith, what do they say? I'm still a work in progress. Still a work in progress. They heard the word, but they didn't consume it in their hearts. God will spew them out of his mouth. They make God sick. Anyone can tell you that they're a born-again Christian, and maybe at one time they made a profession, maybe even walked the aisle. But their seed fell on stony ground. It did not take root. Why? Why not? Because they failed to water it. They failed to water it. You know how you water the seed? By walking in Christ. Someone once asked me, how do you water God's word? Well, through prayer. Through prayer. I'm a great believer in praying without ceasing. Does God answer all my prayers? You bet he does. Oh, yes, he does. The problem is, if we don't get the response that satisfies what we want, then we have a tendency to get weak in our spiritual knees. Weak in our spiritual knees. Unfortunately, unanswered prayer has a tendency to override our faith at times, doesn't it? To override our faith. Let me tell you this. Many times in my Christian walk, my prayers are not answered or according to my will. Do I go into power sucking? Huh? Do I become a power sucker? Does my faith come crashing to the floor? It used to until I learned to understand his perfect will for my life. You see, God knows the end from the beginning. God knows the end from the beginning. Do we? No. No. Everything according to his perfect will. People, you've got to understand, when we stand before a mountain, we can't see what's on the other side. But God can. Have you got that? When we stand before a mountain, we cannot see what's on the other side. Are we so righteous we would dare to challenge God's perfect will? Let me tell you something. If you pray always in faith, believing, not wavering now, rest assured, God knows the end of the story. He does. You see, God is omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent. He knows everything. He is everything. Beyond our wildest imagination. The key response to all I just said and read is brought to a crashing climax in Matthew 7, verse 21. Matthew 7, verse 21. In our Savior's own words, listen carefully, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Let me say that again. It's worth bearing in your mind, in your soul. Okay? Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. It makes a whole lot of sense. You see, there's a lot of so-called Christians out there. If you ask them if they're going to heaven, just ask them, you know for sure if you die today, you're going to heaven? Many of them are quick to answer, well, yes, of course, if there is a heaven. Huh? Of course, if there is a heaven, I'm going there. Duh. Says who? They say yes with surety. With surety. Not like, well, I'm not sure, but I'm as good as the next guy. Really. Can we say yes and be sure? I venture to say that more than 90% of them are sincere in their answer. But being sincere doesn't make you a Christian. I sincerely believe that Jesus died on the cross for my sins. Therefore, I'm going to heaven when I die. Now get out of my face and let me live my life to the fullest. Well, duh, duh, duh. Where's that in the scriptures? How many people are walking around today who made a profession of faith, so-called, because they walked an aisle under some kind of duress and said, yeah, I believe Jesus Christ died for me on the cross at Calvary. And the preacher says, bless you, my child. You're going to heaven. So you go back to your seat with your head bowed, maybe even shed a little tear here and there. Sit down and feel content. But when you walk out of the chapel or the church, everything begins to fizzle. Fizzle. And the whole concept of being born again seems to fade away as you get a phone call from a friend. Hey, guy, come on over. We're having a party. Oh, man, we got a surprise for you. We got all the goodies, you know what I mean? You can hardly wait to get there. You've just been born again in your mind, and now you're going to a party where all sorts of things are going on that God would not be pleased with. Now, I'm not saying right blank force that you didn't get saved. But it's highly unlikely it hasn't taken effect. You see, if you believe in Jesus Christ, that he suffered and died on that cruel cross at Calvary for your sins, then the Bible says, well, hey, you're going to heaven. But the Bible also says something else. Repent and believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. A lot of people leave out the repent, especially in these modern day churches, so-called churches. Why? Because it means you have to change your way of thinking, change your lifestyle maybe. You're walking that way, you turn around and go that way. Now you might say, well, I'm not living a bad life. What do I have to turn away from? Well, you know, if God wasn't in your life to begin with, you were living the wrong kind of life. You might be a successful businessman, you might be a good family man, but you know what? There's a lot of them in hell. Repent means you have to have a change of mind. And if you don't have that change of mind, if you don't have that desire to walk for God, to serve the Lord, to do His perfect will in your life. If you don't have that desire, then there's something amiss. In fact, I almost call my sermon today something amiss. In fact, maybe I'll work on one. But people take things so for granted. Say a simple prayer, walk a simple aisle, hear a simple preacher lead you in what is supposed to be the way unto salvation. But it didn't take. It's like the vaccination that didn't take. Because you go like the swine, they go back to their slop. Unless there's a change in your life, you better reconsider what you have done, and have you done the right thing, and what you must do. I don't feel any different. No, you don't. You pinch yourself and it hurts. You still have to eat it 3 meals a day if you can. And you have to go to church every Sunday. That helps too. But what about the rest of the time? Do you still have those old fantasies, those old desires to want to do what the world's still doing? Or is there something inside of you saying, no, no, you can't go there anymore. That's no good for you. You belong to Jesus. Now, I'm not talking about, you know, a verbal outburst. I'm talking about being indwelt by the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit doesn't come into you, then you're not saved. Because your old desires are always to walk with the world. And maybe you'll throw in a Sunday morning service at your local church. Or you'll just let things slide and say, well, I know if I died tomorrow, I'd go to heaven. It's as simple as that. I don't want to hear any more. You don't, eh? Well, what about if you're not really saved? How do you know for sure that you'd be with Christ? How do you know for sure? Have old things passed away? Behold, have all things become new? Or do you still crave to go back to the slop that the pigs would go to? Now, I'm not saying everything happens instantaneous. It does in your spiritual innards. Yes, it does. If you are truly saved, you are saved. But you will know you're saved by your fruit, by your lifestyle, by what your desires are. And if you still feel like going to those old mess halls where things are not working out in the eyes of God, or doing the things that are not acceptable to God, then you better re-examine yourself. The Bible says, examine yourself to see if you are still in the faith. Are you doing that? Do you ever do that? Or do you just take it for granted that once is enough, that's the vaccination, I'm saved, I'm going to glory when I die, case closed, there's no sense talking about it anymore? Well, I got news for you. You could be wrong. You see, I'm talking from my personal experience. And from others that I've heard say similar things, and what the Word of God has to say about what we think and what we've been through. There's the old and there's the new. The old says, live life the best you can, get what you can out of it, spit in the eye of the world, and God will be pleased. You forgot something. You forgot to include what happened at Calvary. Why would Jesus the Son of God, come to this sin-cursed earth, go on that cross at Calvary, and shed His precious blood and suffer the way He did for the sins of the whole world? Why would He do it in such dramatic fashion? Suffer so. Why? Because He loves you. Because He loves me. Because He loves the world. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's why. You know, during my many years in Catholicism, I was told to believe that all Catholics are redeemed and heaven bound. Not through anything we did, but what the priests and the Catholic Church did on our behalf. We are encouraged not to read the Bible. That was the priest's job, to read the Bible. Simply go to Mass every Sunday and receive communion, and of course be sure to leave a monetary gift in the offering plate. We weren't encouraged to live for God, but to live for the Church and the Pope. Not to trust and obey because there's no other way. Not to believe that Jesus is the only way, but that He's probably the best way. What did Jesus say unto the Pharisees? Listen carefully. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Case closed. Case closed. There is no other way, folks. If you're not sure, I urge you, make sure today. I thank you for listening, and I ask that you tune in again next week for another message over the Just Jesus Radio Network. God bless you. Amen. Amen.